Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Phil Minicky being joined by our afternoon sports anchor and reporter here at 720 WGN. It's our friend Kevin Powell with a mid-season look at our Chicago White Sox. Kevin, how are you doing?
Great. It's been an interesting baseball season here in Chicago. Sox are winning. Cubs off the field stuff, interesting as well. But Sox, what a season so far.
Oh, my goodness. Does it remind you of 2005 or what?
Yeah, I think one of the things that stands out is just how much fun they're having. And you think of that 2005 team, how fun they were on and off the field and so many characters. Obviously, both teams are a little bit different, but just the atmosphere at Guaranteed Rate Field right now is electric. The fans are really into it. They've been dying for a winner essentially since 2005. They waited through a rough rebuild, and now they're having fun.
And the season started out, I liken it to kind of like a prize fight because you're all ready, you're trained, you're ready to go. And in this case, it's a little bit different than a prize fight because it happened just before the season started. But one of your big guns goes down.
Yeah, Eloy Jimenez. It was, you know, all training camp, really, the overall thought was just stay healthy, just stay healthy, just stay healthy. On paper, this is one of the best teams in baseball. Then Eloy Jimenez kind of half goofing around, reaches for a ball he had no reason to be reaching for, gets injured. But they've been able to weather the storm. I mean, big time. They fought through all the injuries. Eloy Jimenez, Luis Robert, Yasmani Grandal, Nick Madrigal. You look at all those starters going down, and guys are stepping up. And I think that's a sign of, you know, we talked about the fun component of this team and the culture of this team. You have guys like Billy Hamilton and Brian Goodwin, and then you have guys like Gavin Sheets, who was a second-round draft pick. You have guys like Andrew Vaughn stepping in right away, and I think getting thrown into that can add pressure, knowing that it's a championship team. But when you have that culture and you have that fun atmosphere and you have leaders, I think that does help those guys, and they know it is a championship-type year, so they're stepping up.
And they have to.
Yeah.
And they make each other better. That's the cool thing about it, right?
Yeah, it's a great point. And it's interesting, too, how much of what those guys doing, and I didn't even mention Jake Berger, a guy who's fought his way. That's a great story in its own, of him fighting through multiple Achilles tendon injuries, him coming up and contributing right away as well. Now, how that's going to dictate what they do at the trade deadline, we'll see, which is, you know, a little less than a week away at this point. But guys are stepping up big. It's been very impressive, and that starting rotation has been outstanding as well. Carlos Rodon, another great story on this team, who's fought through elbow, shoulder injuries, never really lived up to the hype of a first-round draft pick billing. But he says he's stepped up, and right now you could say he's the AL Cy Young favorite.
Yeah. They have promos during the game that, you know, he was the worst pitcher in baseball.
Yeah.
And then the next year, it's like, what?
Yeah, well, over the winter, I mean, they had actually cut ties with him, and they said, you know what, let's give him one more opportunity. Let's bring Carlos Rodon back on another prove-it deal, and he's going to be a free agent after this year. He's going to get a large contract. Hopefully he remains on the south side. We'll see. But that's another conversation for down the road. But the point is there's so many good individual stories throughout this entire team, which has come together to be one of the most electric teams in all of baseball. Yeah, the Tony La Russa hire before the season, a lot of people were scratching their head. There was a lot of critics out there, and he did make some mistakes early on.
Yes, he did.
But where they're at now, you got to kind of start looking at what Tony La Russa is doing, the way he's managed the bullpen, the culture that he deserves some of the credit for as well. The guys kind of joke around with him a little bit about his age and how long he's been in baseball, and he's fine with that. He's having fun with it as well. I've certainly been critical of Tony La Russa at points throughout the year, and I think some of that criticism was worthy, but they are where they are. He is the manager, and things are looking good.
Yeah, a lot of people were scratching their head about
yeah.
that. Like, are you serious?
Yeah, and I think one of the big reasons too, as we look back on that, where I think a lot of people were scratching their head, was one, he hadn't managed in 10 years. Okay, that's one thing. I think part of it, too, was it felt like a Jerry Reinsdorf hire rather than a Rick Hahn hire, and you had trusted Rick Hahn throughout an entire rebuild, essentially to tear down the roster and build it to what it is now. And then when it came to that last piece of moving on from Rick Renteria and bringing in a manager, it was Tony La Russa they brought in. So I don't know for certain, but it felt like a Jerry Reinsdorf hire, but either way, it's working right now.
Right. So we don't need to go any further with that.
No.
Which brings up something about superstition. I don't know who's more superstitious, hockey players or baseball players, but you don't talk about certain things. And you don't talk about where things are going to end up in the postseason and this and that, right? Mm-hmm. We don't talk about that.
Yeah, no. And they do have the right approach. I mean, every time we've talked to the players after games about beating him, you know, really good teams. They took, two or three from Houston not long ago, and Houston maybe has the best lineup in all of baseball, and you see what the starting pitching did to them. But when you talk to him, and Dallas Keuchel, who was a part of one of those Astros winning World Series teams, it's a bit cliche, but you do hear it from championship teams throughout all of the sports, which is day by day, game by game. Don't get ahead of yourselves. We do still have a long way to go to the playoffs. August always can be rough. It's a very long season. It has been interesting going back to this 162 after the 60-game sprint and realizing, well, baseball season is a really long season.
Right.
But it's fun, right? The highs, the lows. There's so many storylines that develop throughout the length of a full 162.
Right, absolutely. Kevin Powell, WGN afternoon sports anchor and reporter, joining us. So it's kind of a mid-season tune-up. We're talking about the Chicago White Sox. You mentioned some up-and-comers, guys who have really, really stepped up. Most surprising for you, and I know that's a difficult situation, but who to you is like, you're like, oh, this is awesome?
Wow, that's a really good question. I would say, and I know we already talked about Carlos Rodon a little bit, but just because of the injuries he went through and the fact that he wasn't even with the team over the winter, and then they brought him back, and to have he's finally put it all together. This is a guy who was drafted in the first round by the Chicago White Sox with visions of him being the ace of the future. If you draft a guy as high as you do as Carlos Rodon, that's your anticipation. That's your hope. And after all these years of ups and downs, and we saw flashes throughout his career of how nasty he can be out there, it's finally clicking. So I guess off the top of my head, that's who I think of first is Carlos Rodon, because we always knew he had stuff like this, but you know, the effect of him even making the rotation, where there were some questions if he would. I mean, in camp, it was like, okay, he's probably fighting for a fourth or fifth spot in this rotation. Now, if the playoffs were to start today, you could make a case for Carlos Rodon being your game one starter in the playoffs. So what Carlos Rodon has been able to do, what he's been able to overcome throughout his career and the injuries and things like that, I would say surprised in the sense that I just wasn't anticipating it. I always thought he had the talent to be what he is right now.
Right, right. You mentioned the trade deadline a little earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Correct me if I'm wrong. I mean, you're the sports expert. I'm thinking the Sox can sit back and wait and wait and wait until the perfect deal comes down, because they're going to ask for the moon, whoever we're talking to.
Right, and that's a good point. I'm with you. I think because there are so many teams that are at least lingering in contention. I mean, the White Sox are going to make the playoffs at this point. It's a matter of, you know, jockeying for playoff position. At this point, we're thinking World Series, right? We're not thinking division championship at this point. So it's how much does Rick Hahn want to sell off? I mentioned Gavin Sheets, who's been contributing, Jake Berger, who's been contributing. Would they be willing to move on from one of those guys if it were for a top-tier player like, I don't know, Craig Kimbrel on the north side, who's going to be one of the most sought-after relievers in all of baseball. He might be the most sought-after player in the trade market, but I think it is going to take a little bit of time here for any big splashes in terms of trades to happen, because I think, to your point, which is a very good one, is that the White Sox don't necessarily have to rush to make a move. So I don't think there's any reason for Rick Hahn and the front office to overextend and say, you know what, we're ready to move on from one of these guys to get a certain player. I think they can, and they've built this cushion in the division where they don't have to rush and make moves, which is incredible that we're saying that, considering they're down four starters right now.
Right.
I mean, so you know, again, to the point of these guys stepping up, it hasn't created this chaotic, we've got to move fast, we're in a tight division race, or we're fighting for a playoff spot. No, we've built a cushion here. We've earned this. Let's wait. Let's see. And let's make a calculated move near the deadline.
Right. We're just about out of time. We're talking with Kevin Powell, WGN Afternoon Sports anchor and reporter. A name that has been mentioned, Chris Bryant.
Yeah, you know, I've kind of tossed that name out there for fun, and I said, you know, Chris Bryant makes sense for the White Sox. Well, Chris Bryant makes sense for just about every team in playoff contention because he's versatile. I mean, look what he's done this year. He started left, right, center, third base, first base. He can pretty much do it all for a team that's in contention. Now, he is a rental. He is going to enter free agency after this year, so how much do you want to give up for a guy who's a rental? That's always going to be factored in. Craig Kimbrell, a closer, is a guy you can pick up a club option for next season, so he does have a little bit more value. But I will just throw some names out there. Adam Frazier of the Pirates is a second baseman. Also can play corner outfield. Would make a lot of sense for the White Sox. Eduardo Escobar, the Diamondbacks, a second baseman, a guy who's been linked to the Sox. There has been some rumors between those two teams, but nothing done yet. So those are some names to keep an eye out. And another name, too, from the Cubs. I keep throwing Cubs names out there because there are so many players on the Cubs that make a lot of sense for a lot of teams in contention. But lefty Andrew Chafin of the Cubs, the reliever out of the bullpen, has been outstanding all year. And any team that's in contention is going to try to add to the bullpen. So it should be a fun deadline.
And I know you're going to keep us abreast of everything like you always do. Afternoons here on GN. Chicago's Afternoon News from 4 to 7 with our friend Steve Bertrand and the rest of the team. Speaking of the Sox, the boys did not do well tonight. 7-1 they lost to the Brewers. It looks like La Russa got tossed. So that's interesting. I got an update. My son is listening in Florida, and he told me that the Hawks picked a defenseman with their 32nd pick that they got in the trade for Seth Jones. Nolan Allen is his name. He's a defenseman. And he tells me, he's a hockey player too, by the way, that he was expected to be picked in the early 80s around that number. So what, second, third round? And we picked him with the 32nd pick tonight. So that's an update right there. All right. I'm Phil Medicki. We've got a real treat next. We're going to talk to Chicago's rock star, and a song title will give it away. Eye of the Tiger. That's next. 720 WGN.